Well then, 2 years later, one global catastrophe later, and Ed Rowley and I sat in another production studio making another podcast that some people might listen to at some point. We like to think it was due to the people backing this, the sponsors, or even the many listeners that is the reason we're back. But in reality, Ed's back in the country for the first time in 18 months, and we thought we might as well just do this because we've got nothing else to do.
That's right. I imagine the global catastrophe that you mentioned is the fact that we haven't published this.
Cause... Yes, yeah, that's the reason that the world has been burning around us, is the fact that there's been no content for people to consume via things like Spotify and iTunes from the two of us. And not none of the wars, none of the diseases, none of that stuff. We can all down tools on that now because, don't worry, we're back and everything's fine. So, yes, I am Elliot. This is Ed Rowley sat opposite me.
How's it going? Bada bing, bada bong. We're here.
What are you, fucking crazy frog? He used to say that, didn't he?
He did. He sounds like it, doesn't he?
When he was riding around with his knob out, saying bing, bing at people.
I don't remember that bit, but...
Oh, no, it's finally imprinted in my memory, and I'd like to hope that there's more Crazy Frog content in this episode to come, however long this episode is going to be.
Fingers crossed.
But what I would like to point out is that, yes, this is the first time you're in the country, and we are set opposite each other. You wouldn't know that from the difference in mic quality. Rowley sounds like he's...
flying a plane.
Or, like, meshing in from a war-torn country on a BBC update.
Flying a plane.
Yeah, but only because our mic broke and we're now using two different mics, and I've decided to take the best one because I probably might talk more. But there
and,
we go.
And he's invested time, money, and effort into this. I just turned up a little bit pissed.
I wouldn't go with money, but I think if it was money, it would be a bit of a sunk cost. But I'd like to think that any effort that we put into this is good for both of you listening. So there we go. So let's stop talking to each other and crack on with it.
Let's go.
Would you like to play a game?
What is it, Elliot?
Well, it's a game about baby names. And having been to my first christening the other day, I thought, fine, let's include something topical, if not to my life, if not anyone else's. But what I've done here is I prepared a number of baby names. Some of them are real. Some of them are real baby names that people in the world have named their children. And some of them are made up by me. And I'd like you to tell the difference between the true and the false ones.
Amazing.
And if you win the quiz, or if you get like over, let's say...
68%.
Mm-hmm. You can win a big prize, and the big prize this week is a 12-minute stay at Butlin's Chernobyl.
Just 12.
That's all you need.
Probably the medical limit.
That's all you need. So I'll run you through a number of baby names, and you've got to tell me if they are true and or if they are false. So the
Amazing.
First one is Jihad.
I'm going to say that's true. I don't know if that translates to something beautiful
true.
Like John
one
in
out of
another
one.
Language.
No, it's pronounced Jihad. It translates to Jihad. It was a woman named her 14th child. So she'd had 13 and gone, there's no other words to use really.
She ran out.
I have to use Jihad. That's one out of one. Number two is Little Sweet Meat. Sounds like a Domino's pizza.
Yeah, it does, doesn't it? Yeah.
That's what we're saying.
The one that they don't list the ingredients.
Yeah, it's just a mystery animal. It's dwarf.
It's not true though. No one's naming their kid. Was it Little Sweet Meat?
So you're down to 50% because that one is true.
Christ.
The next baby name is Kid Five.
I get it because it was just probably the fifth kid.
You'd like to think so.
You would like to think so.
So we're going with true or false on that one.
No, I'm going to go for false.
It is false. Yeah, I made that one up.
There we go.
How about?
I doubted myself.
Yeah, so you've got 66% so far, and these okay. As we go forward, the fractions and the percentages are getting a little more complicated.
I'm claiming 67.
Right. I'll do one. So we can round to 67. The threshold was 68. So you're
still
doing
not
okay.
Winning the prize.
You're doing okay. They're close. But the next one, the baby name is Orgasm.
Is that because she had her first one when it was conceived?
Quite possibly.
Oh, I've still got to answer the question, haven't
you? Yeah, you can't just suddenly just sit there closing your eyes thinking about things.
No, I would say...
it's been a long 18 months.
Mm-hmm. I would say false again.
It's true, actually. Oh, so we're down to 50% once again. Mm. This next one, I'm going to give you a bit of context.
Please do.
The grandparents were called John and Veronica, so they called the baby Virgonica.
Okay. You know what? I'm going to go for false.
That's true.
Whoa.
So you're down to... Someone do the maths. 2 out of 5. That's 40%. Okay, so...
I don't think I can win, can I?
No, I think you'll be right. If you get the next...
There's three more.
First one being just one word. Twat hammer.
Oh, not hyphenated.
Well, it depends. There's different pronunciations. Some people put two T's on mine. Some people put one T. Some people put a hyphen in Twathammer. Some people just have it as one word together. But then you run the risk of it being pronounced Twathammer, which is incorrect and just embarrassing for the child.
That was embarrassing for everyone, isn't it?
Yeah.
Let's be honest. In Norwegian, again, that probably translates to something beautiful such as John.
Okay.
So I'm going to go for true based on the fact...
No, it's wrong, I'm afraid. So we're down to 2 out of 6 here.
Great.
I don't know what that is in...
Yeah, it's 33.
Okay, fine. Oh, of course it is. It's a third, isn't it?
Yeah, quick one, mate.
Good maths. Another one here is one word. All one word. Prince Charles. One word.
That's when...
With the C being lowercase in Charles because it's one word.
Yeah, that could be Prince Charles. Again, you're running into it to possible complications there.
Yeah.
Because otherwise I see no problem with it.
What are we going for?
I'm going to go for, you know, I've got two options here, haven't I? It's either true or false. Yeah, I'm going to go for true.
It is true. So there we're back go. Up to 3 out of 7. Now, hey, do the percentage on that.
41%, go fuck yourself.
How are you doing that so quickly?
Or 42.
Oh, so we don't know. Okay, so it's going to all rest on the last one. You're either going to lose or you're going to lose on it.
57%, I wasn't even close.
But it's a word. Oh, was it? Have you done the maths there? Okay, fine. It's just, the name is Clitus. Don't laugh. There's a reason.
I'm not.
The French couple called their baby Clitus Wood, and people asked them a few years later, why have you called it Clitus Wood? And they misheard the name Clint Eastwood. So everyone Clitus Wood. So is that true or false?
That's too elaborate for you to make up. Let's do the maths here. How many is this? This is 8, or
you would get yes, the 8th one. So you'd have 4 out of 8 if you get it right, which is 50%. And I'll give you
listen.
That.
No. If I get this right, I get 5 out of 8.
Okay.
Which is going to be interesting, but it's not quite enough to win the prize.
Welcome to the GCSE BBC Bite Size Podcast.
What is it? Clitus Wood.
Clitus Wood.
Clitus Wood.
Clitus Wood.
That's too elaborate for you to make up, so I think that's true.
Correct. Well done. 5 out of 8. I think 5 out of 8. Yeah, 5 out of 8. Well done.
63%. Round it up. Dealer's choice.
You can have the state of Bunnings. 12 minutes
in Chernobyl. I don't know why I'm fighting for this.
You can have the state of Bunnings Chernobyl. I mean, they're not flying off the shelves.
You going to come with me?
No, because 3 of us might come back. Ed Rowley, would you like an update on what the Huntingdon Stanleys have been up to in lockdown?
I've been waiting for someone to ask me that question.
And I've been waiting for someone to say yes to that question, because everyone that I've asked over the whole 18 months has said, shut up.
I didn't actually say yes.
Oh, but you were waiting to say no.
Yes.
Okay, fine. Well, if you haven't heard a podcast already before, firstly, where have you been? Secondly, actually, well done, because it shows you've got something going on in your life. But the Huntingdon Stanleys are our Surrey family. Go back and listen if you haven't heard them before, please. Pays the rent. But I thought we'd get a little update. They've written me a letter, like one of those Christmas letters, you know, when they update on what the family been up to at Christmas, and you're like, leave me alone, I don't know who you are.
Well, they wrote into you.
They wrote into me, yeah, and they let me know. I don't know whose perspective they wrote it from, because they all speak about each other in the third person. So
interesting.
Let's assume there's a stalker watching them through the window. But
a fly on the wall.
Would you like to know what they've been up to in lockdown?
I'd love to.
Okay. Giles has found it difficult in lockdown, especially since Pip has banned all intercourse between the two of them due to social distancing guidelines. Well, she never stated that's why, but Giles figured that could be the only reason. As a result, he's been sneaking off with Pippa's Nigella cookbooks for his own pleasure. He thought he'd got away with it until Pippa tried to make a quinoa and kumquat salad but found the pages were stuck together. Nevertheless, Pippa's been coping in lockdown by having her own tennis coach, Pascal, pop over every now and again. And by pop over, I don't mean to give her tennis coaching, I mean to sneak through the back door in a crotchless hazmat suit and bend her over the arga. But one of the hardest things Pippa's found about lockdown was the fact that her virtual book club finally ran out of books to pretend to know anything about. Instead, they've had to spend 100% of their time bitching about other Guildford College mums, up from the previous figure of just 95. However, it all got a bit sour when one of the women, Hazel Kennington Oatley, took the bitching a little too far and ended up getting arrested. Apparently, the Surrey Police Department frowned upon graffitiing the words, "Your cricket match tees are absolute guff," on the side of another mum's Range Rover.
Cross the line.
Exactly. But anyway, the other female of the family has been having a slightly better time of it. Poppy, having decided she's not going back to uni until the club night she reps for, Sloppy Tuesday at YOLO Turds, is running again, has been making some extra money on the side. Poppy started temping as a virtual sales recruiter, posting daily videos about tech startups with over $8 trillion in Series B funding. And if that doesn't work out, she figures she can just sell pictures of her feet to overconfident Indian fellas on Instagram. Either way, she's going to need a lot of disposable income to pay for the next 40 years of standing calling tickets. And finally, Tristan, who spent an unhealthy amount of time doing drunken Zoom quizzes with his old rugby mates. I guess he can take comfort in the fact that getting pissed with them behind a camera means he's less susceptible to succumbing to his latent homosexual tendencies and nobbing his mate cuffers. However, the Zoom quizzes haven't been without their fair share of incident. The most notable occasion was on their neon-themed light when they abandoned the government's instruction to protect the NHS and decided to neck shots of that liquid you find in glow sticks. But anyway, that's what the Huntington Stanleys have been up to. So hopefully they are coming out the other end of the pandemic and get back to their normal lives.
Out of the four of them, which one would you rather be in that pandemic situation?
I'd probably Poppy and in control.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, raking it in.
Not Giles going after cookbooks and all that.
No, that's a bit bleak.
Yeah. I hope they're laminated. One of the things we did want to discuss, though, is it's very, very topical at the moment, whether you're a Pfizer boy or an AstraZeneca Ultra, is a vaccines. And we're not going to start getting into the whole vaccine discussion, but we thought, COVID's, if we're vaccinated from COVID, what else would you like to be vaccinated against? And we've both compiled a few little bugbears that we think we'd like to be immune from. So do you want to start, Ed?
I'll start, yeah. A few little things that, you know, would be useful to be vaccinated against. Number one for me would be Dubai.
What do you mean?
I think it speaks for itself. Bit of a ridiculous place.
Right.
Police drove around in a golden Lamborghini, but built on slave labor, but yeah, I'm fine with that.
I don't feel I can make a funny comment there in the heat of the moment
without
risk of risk of saying something wrong.
I will just to lighten the mood a little bit. I learned that the Burj Khalifa, you know, doesn't have a sewage system, so every morning you've got 14 trucks picking up the shit of all the people staying there every day.
Fucking hell.
So yeah, I wouldn't mind a little jab against that.
Okay, a jab against Dubai and picking up shit from a hotel in Dubai, that's fine. One of the things I'd like to get vaccinated against is people who spray champagne when they go skiing.
Oh yeah.
You're a prick. I'm just going to say this out now, you're a prick.
Is that directed at someone? Or is that you?
No, it isn't. I'm projecting. I'd like to think that if you've gone skiing, people on your Instagram story know that you're rich already, fine, you've got money. You don't need to then reinforce that by spraying something expensive for no utility whatsoever.
You're not going skiing to get a bus pass and a meal deal.
Yeah, exactly. If you were up there like spraying special brew or something, say, okay, well, this is purely because we need to get the other people around us a little bit hydrated,
water, just to make some more snow.
Yeah, exactly. I think if you do that, you're a prick, mate.
Fair enough. Number two for me would be Supreme.
What, the brand?
The brand.
Okay, so we're just noting that other brands are available.
Other brands to get a vaccine against.
Yeah, other brands. You could get vaccinated against, I don't know, Morrison's or something like that, but Rowley wants to go against Supreme. Interesting.
Yeah. Just based on the fact that essentially any, any 6-year-old plus could, you know, with basic cognitive skills and basic dexterity, could create a more ambitious and dynamic brand image rather than what looks like a fucking crisp packet ironed onto a t-shirt.
This is a very in-depth brand analysis here. This is a
18 months late, we've changed.
Okay. This is welcome to a more intelligent podcast, which is the reason my next vaccine is getting vaccinated against serving food on something bollocks. There's a different.
What do you mean? I think I know what you mean.
When they serve it, like a slate is pushing it. Yeah, fine. But I've seen like food served in like burger served in a Sundae glass.
No, just, I know what you mean. It was a shepherd's pie served in a Guinness.
That was
pint.
It. Yeah, put on a plate, mate.
Yeah,
put on a plate. These pubs thinking they're too good for people by putting stuff on
deconstructing your normal pub grub.
Serve it on a plate or get fucked.
Serve it on the inside of a Supreme cap. Anyway, 400 quid. Number three for me would be the vaccine against adults who enjoy Disneyland.
Oh, okay.
You know
oh,
what I
you have
mean?
it. This is Ed Rowley making a path for the autistic community.
No, that's not at all. That's,
okay,
that's
fine.
Fine. You take your kids, fine. You know, and let's be logical here. There's many fine reasons an adult would go to Disneyland. But when they go on their
but
own,
not a
35-year-old
who's going to go and speak to Cinderella or whatever.
Yeah, who is essentially just a man called Keith who dresses up as a woman on Sundays and as Mickey Mouse or whatever. You know,
okay.
These costumes. You queue up 2 hours for that, and I don't get it. And I'd happily get vaccinated against that.
It's time for the flagship feature. This is LinkedIn Tennis. If you don't know how to play it, where have you been? Let's go.
I will start. However, I just want to make reference.
Fine.
To Spare Geese, episode 2.
Episode
to clarify.
Dropping. Oh yeah, because everyone knows the episode titles. Episode 2. Yeah, fine.
If you go into the, I don't know the second or the minute, but if you go into our LinkedIn Tennis game there. You will find a certain player, myself, quote something which has come into fruition 2 summers in a row.
Okay.
That being virtual summer interns.
Yes, it's happened, isn't it?
I am a visionary.
You have predicted the future there. You're ahead of the curve.
It's the future.
I don't know why you're not a billionaire already.
No. It's funny that making up corporate jargon on a Friday night doesn't get you a billionaire. But anyway, here's to trying. Episode 2, little throwback there. Anyway. LinkedIn Tennis for this one. Should I start?
Go.
Client-centric fluidity.
I see you start really strong. I'm just going to go in there with insight sharing.
Nice. Disruptive offboarding.
Commercial acumen.
Bespoke VPN optimization.
Oh, that's so much stronger than my... I'm saying real ones here and going with low-hanging fruit.
Mine are all bollocks.
Okay, so mine are real. Okay, fine.
No, I did mine.
Go on.
VPN optimization.
Yeah, and I said low-hanging fruit.
Oh, that was one?
Yeah, you thought it was an actual phrase because it made sense.
Okay. E-enabled mindshare.
Cascading information.
Oligopolistic sales matrix.
Oh, okay. I'm going to step up here. All right. Brunch and learn.
Oh, yeah. Bring it earlier on the calendar.
Okay, fine.
An hour earlier. Re-engineered intermediaries.
What the fuck does that mean?
Re-engineered intermediaries.
Oh, okay. Thank you for explaining.
Just to provide some context there.
I'm going to go with binternal comms.
The hand movement made it all.
Binternal
for those
comms.
Of you who couldn't view that in person. Thought-driven e-tailers.
Let's fly it up the flagpole and see.
Not sure where that one was going.
That has been said.
Have you heard that in your workplace?
I hope not.
In-person Zoom meetings.
Yeah, very good. I think we're going to stop. Yeah, you've won that one. In-person Zoom meetings. Oh, I long for the day that they come back.
This is very abstract context.
Fucking hell. Would you believe, Ed, that it's been another 18 months and a women's mag hasn't printed one of my letters yet?
No, I would believe that, yep.
Okay. Oh, okay, fine.
You asked me the question, I gave you
answer. No, I appreciate the honesty. I would, but I just every now and again like to be lied to feel better.
No, it's because we're on another level. They can't handle our content.
Let's go with that and keep that in mind when I read to you what I'm about to read out.
Sure.
I thought, you know what? Let's write one more letter into a women's magazine, a take a break, a pick me up, that's life, and see if I can get printed. So I'm going to have one more go at this. I'm going to have one more go. If they don't print it, I'm going to give up. But this is the final time I'm writing in, and this is what I've written to them. And I've written this from the persona of everyone's favourite mum, Kelly, 41.
From Luton.
From wherever. We don't discriminate here. Dear take a break. I recently read your article about Steve, the hunky fireman, giving birth to 12 puppies and was inspired to share my story too. I'm an avid bingo player, frequenting my local hall 6 out of 7 days a week. I save Thursdays for the mum's VK morning at my Ryan's primary school. Anyway, I was at bingo one day with an almost full card, 6 out of 7 on the top line. All I needed was for 88 to be called out, and I'd win the bumper prize, a case of blue Powerade, which would come in very useful for feeding my newborn son. Then suddenly out of nowhere, Susan, the secretary at my rival tattoo parlour, calls out bingo. You can imagine my shock as Susan had only been there for 10 minutes while I'd been battling away on the front line for a good 4 hours. Ah, Darren told me to leave it, as the next prize, the spam underwear, would make for an exciting Valentine's Day compared to our usual ritual of just spitting on each other. But I couldn't, and so charged and maimed Susan while she collected her Powerade. To cut a long story short, I'm in need of £10,000 to make bail and wondered if any readers would be able to be generous enough to help a lass out. It's all right in here, to be fair, as I get some peace and quiet away from the kids, but I'm suffering from kebab withdrawal, so please help soon. Kelly, 41.
Beautiful.
If they don't print that, I don't know what they're doing anymore. No. Like they had some sort of journalistic integrity beforehand.
Yep.
Like I said, other publications are available. I don't know if you can get it on Kindle. If you can, don't. Well, there we are then. There's very little else I have to say to you after 18 months away. I think that last 20 minutes has been a very good catch-up about what's been going on in each other's lives and our aspirations for the future and how that's changed in the pandemic. So
very good.
You can go
very
back to complete. Spain now and get on with your life, and we can do this again in 18 months.
Sounds like a plan.
One thing I would say, though, before you go, is that I just wanted to share with you a movie review that I saw. You know, one of those Amazon movie reviews when people go on Amazon and review movies.
What was the classic one with the diarrhea?
Oh, some woman had diarrhea, so she gave Die Hard like 1 star or something.
Because she didn't get she only got the beginning and the end, and basically that didn't make any sense.
I had diarrhea in the middle and missed the middle and only saw the beginning and the end. It didn't make sense.
That was something
along those lines.
A legacy content.
We paraphrase it. But one thing I would want to leave you before is this image in your head. Mm-hmm. Someone gave Cats. Do you remember Cats?
I do. James Corden being a pussy.
Sure. Oh, contemporary insult. Someone saw Cats and gave it 2 stars, and this fella wrote on Amazon
what I would give. Yeah.
Well, seeing Taylor Swift as a cat has changed my life. Now, when I see a particularly good-looking cat, I see Taylor Swift and just want to dig my paws into her/it. So, keep an eye out for that bloke.
Maybe the other way around, but
I
can't justify this in any way.
Let's not analyse it and just call him a. What do you call someone who likes animals? Beastophile or something?
Felophile.
Yeah, a felophile. Sounds like a nice Greek pitter and cheese or something. But anyway, on that note, thank you for listening to this again. Amazed you got to the end of it. We're amazed we got to the end of it. That's what 18 months... Look at all that 18 months saved up, all that content, and then that's what we produced. Ended on a felophile. That's what we produced. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome.
Yeah, until next time, piss off. There was a B list of stuff we didn't get into, the things we'd get vaccinated against. So let's just rattle them off one by one. Go for it.
For me, Speedos.
Speedos. Yeah, I'd get vaccinated against Speedos, and I'd get vaccinated against pedos. Drop the S, and you got 2 for 1 there.
Drop both S's, and you can get vaccinated against a pedo.
Yes, I would also get vaccinated against singular pedos as well, ones that don't go around in gangs. Keep going.
Valentine's Day.
Right, well, because it's a big ruse by Clintons and card shops. Other card shops are available.
Etc.
Yep, nice. I asked the listeners, the State of It community, to contribute some of those. And
That's the thing.
My girlfriend sent some in. Mm. And she said people who upload images to Instagram that still have Snapchat icons in them, because it's lazy. And she's right. She's 100% right.
It is very lazy.
Yeah.
For me, non-Americans who get really into the Super Bowl.
Oh yeah, this is a massive bugbear.
What's interesting about it?
I watched the Super Bowl once, and the most exciting thing was that I bought a multi-pack of 6 bags of Sun Bites. I ate 5 of them because I thought 6 would be too many, just a little bit too gluttonous. But there we go.
That's more impressive than the Super Bowl.
Yeah.